Good morning, everyone. It's great that you can join us again today. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Tim. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'll be leading us through the beginning of this service. Now, last week, we started looking at the theme of joy in the Christian life. And so I thought it'd be a brilliant place to start is where we left last week by saying together that verse that we spent much time last week looking at. It's from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, and hopefully it will appear on your screen. Let's say together, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. This command for believers isn't just a call to put on a fake smile in difficulty, but it's a call for us, it's a command for us to remember that our ultimate source of joy is found only in our saving God, a joy that can never be taken away. So as we start our time, we're going to sing a song to help us fix our eyes on our great God and seek together our joy in Him. So let's sing, There is a Redeemer. Let me lead us in a prayer. Sovereign Lord, we want to rejoice today in you and all you have revealed yourself to be through the scriptures. We rejoice today in you, Father, Son, and Spirit. Father, we thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our Redeemer, the one who's brought us from death to life. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your obedience to your Father, for your willingness to put on flesh, to take our sin upon yourself at the cross, and to give us your righteousness. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your many works, for showing us our sin and leading us to Jesus as Saviour. Father, Son, and Spirit, we praise you this morning. Please be glorified in our service. Please grow us in our understanding of who you are, that we may love you more, that we would be those who rejoice in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in today, because we know you and are known by you. Please draw near to us today as we draw near to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our time of rejoicing as we consider more big truths about Jesus.
Hey guys, I'm Glenn and this is Steve. Woo! I hope you're holding up well. As many of you know, we're working our way through the titles for Jesus from Colossians 1, verses 15 to 23. And the idea is we're trying to get a bigger view of who Jesus is. Jesus wasn't just any old bloke who lived 2,000 years ago. He was so much more. And what we want to do is to show you how amazing he is and have that expand our minds a bit like this. That's cool, isn't it? Well, last week we saw that Jesus is the Son, which means he is made of the same stuff as the Father. They are from the same family, you could say. And this week, we're on to the next bit.
Oh, Glenn.
Yes, Steve, what's up?
Look at this picture. I've got this picture done. Look at this picture.
Oh, what's this? Oh, look at this, boys and girls. Look at that picture. Can you see that? Wow.
Yeah, this is a picture of my lovely girlfriend.
Oh, is this Stella?
Yeah, this is Stella.
Oh, exciting. I see you've got a picture of her. It's funny, boys and girls, because I've never seen Stella. I've not seen her, have I, Steve, before?
No, you haven't. And I wanted to show you her. So I have made this picture so we could all see what Stella looks like.
Oh my, she looks very similar to you. She's very lovely, isn't she?
Yeah, she really is.
That's really nice. It's good that I finally got the chance to see her, because you've told me so much about her, but I've not actually seen her in person, have I? I actually, at times, Steve, have wondered if she even existed. It's like she was invisible, because no one had seen her, not even Agent Orange.
No, you didn't. Well, the thing is, she's been away at work a lot, and she's actually a bit nervous about meeting you all.
All right, well, this picture shows us an image of her and helps us to see what she's like, doesn't it? We can see what she's like.
Yeah, it does. Sorry, I interrupted you. What were you going to say earlier?
Ah, that's okay. Well, actually, this picture helps us, really.
Ooh. Who does it?
Well, the title we're looking at this week comes from verse 15. Have a listen to this. The Son is the image of the invisible God. The Son is the image of the invisible God. Do you see what that's saying? It's saying, so Jesus is the image of the invisible God.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is. You see, in John 1, it says this. No one has ever seen God.
Sorry, wait, what? No one has ever seen God. How are we meant to know him if we can't see him?
Well, let me finish. The verse goes on. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with God, with the Father, has made him known.
Oh, well, so Jesus shows us what the Father is like.
Exactly. So it's a bit like this picture with the image of Stella. It shows us what Stella is like. This is an image. This isn't Stella, but it shows us what Stella is like. And that's the same with Jesus.
So what you're saying is Jesus shows us what God is
like? Exactly. See, lots of people will say, show me God and I'll believe. And the answer to that statement is, look at Jesus. You want to see God? Look at Jesus. Jesus puts God on display perfectly.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing? It is, isn't it?
So, at the cross...
Oh, yeah, at the cross is amazing as well. Jesus is clearly showing us God the Father and the Father's love for his people. It's why Jesus died. It was what he, the Father, and the Holy Spirit all wanted. As Jesus died on the cross, he was showing the whole world God's love and his justice and many other things about the Father so that everyone would know the Father.
That is amazing.
It really is. So you want to see God?
Look at Jesus, because he is the image of God.
Exactly. We're now going to sing a song before you head back to the church. Fully God, fully man, that's the truth we must understand. Cheers.
Must understand, Son of God, Son of Man, Jesus came, God's rescue plan. Fully God and fully man. Well, he healed the sick and forgave their sin, called the people to follow him. To some he was king, to some he was mad, but they all asked, who is this man?
At this point, let me just bring a couple of notices. First of all, if you're a formal member of this local church, just a reminder that a week tomorrow, that's Monday the 28th of September, we have a church members meeting. Hopefully you've received an email about that. If you have, you'll also notice there's going to be a vote as part of that evening. So if you know in advance that you can't make it to that to the meeting, then please do get in contact with your vote. And if you have any questions about the vote or about the evening, then please contact one of the elders. Secondly, let me just say, I invite you to this evening. So our 5 p.m. service continues this evening, where Doug will be taking us through the next part of the Lord's Prayer. So please do join us online for that, or if you've booked, then here in person. It'd be great to see you then. Well, just before I hand over to Nathan, we're going to go to Matt, and he's going to lead us in a time of prayer.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for all our online church groups and activities for children and young people, including Rooted, Big Bible Adventure, and Connect Max, and other groups. We pray for the children that they will remember the teaching and want to share with others. And we pray for the leaders to speak your words. We pray that the children and young people would start to follow Jesus personally, and that the others will grow to know him better. We thank you and praise you for all those who already have. We also pray for your protection for those in the church family who have started or are starting school or university this month. We are sorry, Lord, for times where we are easily distracted by things in the world, particularly in the midst of the worldwide pandemic we are facing, and neglect prioritising spending time in your word and prayer. We specifically pray that you will help us by your Holy Spirit and reveal truths in the scriptures to us and help us apply them in our lives, and you will guide us in our individual prayer. Please help us make time for the Tuesday night prayer meeting at church to come together online to turn and call out to you, glorifying your name. Heavenly Father, we also pray for those in the church family who are currently unwell, undergoing medical treatment, awaiting test results, or recovering from illness. We pray that they will know your help and comfort at this time and would trust your sovereignty. We include in our prayers Bruce Cunningham, Richard Haycock, Doreen Morwood, Jenny White, and others, and their friends and family caring for them all. We pray for the older members of our church family and the challenges they face, particularly at this difficult time, including those struggling with frailty and also isolation. Finally, Lord, we pray to you that as we read and are taught from your word today, that you will help us understand and respond. Please help Nathan and open all of our eyes as we listen to you and help us learn together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. My name's Nathan. I'm one of the other pastors here at the church. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. A special welcome to you if you're new this morning in some way. Grab yourself a Bible if there's one to hand, either on your device or grab a paper Bible, and turn to the New Testament letter to the Philippians. Now, while you're turning there, on these Sunday mornings, I just want to remind you that we are together as a church family thinking about the subject of joy. And we're doing that together from this New Testament letter to the Philippians. As one writer puts it, from beginning to end, this letter is bathed in the sunshine of joy. Such a beautiful picture, isn't it? But it's a joy we meet in this letter that seems to supersede the circumstances we find ourselves in. From a prison cell, Paul speaks of joy. He writes of joy 16 times in a short letter. His rejoicing, his joy, and urging the church family to do the same. Now, I want to be really clear and say joy is not the primary purpose of this letter. But actually, as we, perhaps many of us, struggle for joy or long to recapture something of joy, this is such a helpful place to go in order to grow our understanding of Christian joy. A joy, that our happiness that we can have even in the middle of hardships. Where do we find our joy? What does it look like to have joy even in hardship? Now, last week we looked at Paul's command in chapter 4, verse 4, to rejoice always in the Lord. And this week, though, we come back to the beginning of the letter, and Sam, our new apprentice at the church, is going to read that to us now. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 11.
Today's Bible reading is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
Thanks, Sam, for reading that to us. Let's pray and let's have a think about those words together. Our Father in heaven, we ask this morning, please, that you would teach us more about joy. Oh, we long for joy. Please, would you teach us what it is to find our joy in Jesus? A joy that we can have even when things are hard. Teach us what it looks like to fight for joy in Jesus. Where to look in this world, in his works, for our joy in Jesus. Father, we humbly ask that you would bring us joy this morning. That the Holy Spirit would produce joy in us. Joy in Jesus. Joy in what he is doing. Joy in what he has done. Joy simply in who he is. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hanging on the wall of my study upstairs in this building, I have a photo of this church family that was taken in 2010. It was a Sunday morning, and it was taken from the lectern where I'm standing now, looking out at everyone who was here. We weren't in this building, but we were back in the school, if any of you can remember those days. Now, I walk past this photo hundreds of times every day. But the other day, I stopped to look at this picture more closely. And as my eyes scanned back and forward along the rows of people sitting there, I found very precious memories were being stirred. Photos do that for us, don't they? It could be a photo hanging on your wall of a family member. It could be friends. It could be a holiday. Photos stir memories. And there are dear friends in this picture taken 10 years ago who are now with the Lord Jesus. There are friends who have left this church to go and start new churches. Think of our four church plants. Think of friends that have gone off to other parts of the country to be involved in other gospel works. There are friends who are still here, serving faithfully, still partnering with us in the work here at Enfield Town Community Church. Okay, if you look at this picture, some of us are a little bit older, a little bit greyer. Some of the kids are a little bit bigger. But there are people who are still here. There are people in this picture who helped me. There are people in this picture who've looked after my children. There are people in this picture who have served alongside us in the various ministries we've done here. There are people in this picture who've given generously to the life of church. And as I spent time in front of this picture, what I found was a growing feeling of joy. Not joy that meant I kind of leapt around my study doing flips and dancing and clapping, but a joy in my soul. And it's a joy that led me to a thankfulness to God for the people that I was looking at in this picture, for people that Jesus had saved and made part of this local church family. And this morning, I believe that it is something similar that we're seeing happen in the Apostle Paul in the opening verses of this letter. So you look with me at verse 3. Paul says in verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. Paul is bringing this church in Philippi to mind. Now, I doubt he had a photo on his prison cell of this church, but he was able to recall in his mind, bring to mind these Christians that he'd spent time with and he'd been with in various places. And he was able to say, do you know what? This fills me with joy. Look at verse 4. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Memories stirred in him joy. And that means that from the hardships of his prison cell, there was something that brought him joy. As we thought about last week, there was something that brought him happiness, even in the hardness. Now, what was it? Who was it? Well, look at chapter 1 and verse 1. It's God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi. It's the church, the group of people, the gathered Christians in Philippi who brought him joy. He was separated from them by 10 years. He hadn't been to Philippi in 10 years. He's now separated from them by about 1,000 miles as he finds himself in a prison cell, probably in Rome. But these friends, these fellow disciples of Jesus, were a source of joy to him, even in his hardships. See, look at verse 7. He says, it's right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart. That's love language. And again, verse 8, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now, that's a big claim. The affection of Christ, Jesus who humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross, so that he could save people like us. Paul says he loves these guys. Do you know something of that joy from other Christians? Do you know anything of that kind of affection towards other people who follow Jesus? Whether in this church, perhaps a church you grew up in, another church you've attended, Christians somewhere else in the world. For Paul, the Philippian church, the people who made up the Philippian church, brought him joy. But why? Why did they bring him joy? Two words: gospel partnership. See, look at verse 5 with me. It's always great when you're reading the Bible to look out for these linking words. He tells us in verse 4 that he has joy. But why, verse 5? Because of your partnership in the gospel. Friends, on these Sunday mornings, as we learn to look for our joy in the right place, to look for our joy in Jesus, both who he is, what the Bible tells us about him, and also in his work, what he's doing in this world. As we learn to look for our joy in the right place, as we learn to look for joy that isn't dependent on our circumstances, the Apostle Paul this morning shows us that there is joy in gospel partnership. Or there is joy to be found in gospel partnership. It's not just I don't think they were nice people. I'm sure they were. It's not just that he perhaps had a good time when he went to Philippi. Sounded pretty rough from Acts 16. It's not even that they were like him. No, Paul's joy came because of their partnership with him. Now, this word partnership is a pretty important word in this letter. It comes up lots of times. And it really means that they've come to share something together. Not just a common interest. You know, there's lots of things we share with others in common, isn't there? We might support the same team or we might like the same hobby. Now, partnership is a much stronger word. It's a commercial word. It's the idea of people going into business together. Bonded together, working for a common purpose, side by side, committed to each other. And Paul says they've become partners. Those kind of partners. But what in? What is their partnership in? What do they share together? Well, look again at verse 5. Their partnership in the gospel. Now, the gospel is the work of announcing the good news of Jesus Christ as Lord and as Saviour, crucified, risen, returning as judge. And that is their gospel partnership. That is what they shared in. And gospel partnership is what churches are. It is what we are, or should be. See, we're not a club. Enfield Town Community Church, friends, we're not a club and our hobby is Jesus. We're not a group of people who just happen to be interested in Jesus together. No, we are a gospel partnership. We're bonded together. We share in common, working for a common purpose. Do you see yourself like that? Do you see others in this church family that we belong to as gospel partners, co-workers? Now, what does it mean to be gospel partners? What is it exactly that we share in? Well, there are three parts to the gospel partnership that Paul speaks of. And three things, actually, that are the source of his joy. If gospel partnership is his joy, here are three things that bring him joy. First of all, gospel partnership is the joy of sharing in the grace of Jesus. It's the joy of sharing in the grace of Jesus. But Paul speaks, doesn't he, in verse 5, about a first day. Many of us have had first days. Some of us watching this morning may have first days coming up or have had first days recently, first days at school, first days in new jobs, first days at universities. We all have first days. And Paul says that for this church in Philippi, there was a first day. And that day was when Paul took the gospel of Jesus to Philippi. You read about it in Acts chapter 16. He preached about Jesus, about the forgiveness of sins that can be found in him. And people believed. Lydia believed the message. The Lord opened her heart. Jesus was at work and she believed the message. There's the Philippian jailer right in the middle of the night. He comes rushing before Paul. What must I do to be saved? And on that day when Paul was in Philippi, this first day, he began to understand the joy of these people sharing in the grace of Jesus with him, sharing in Jesus' salvation. See, look at verse 6. He calls it that God had begun a good work in them. There was a day when God started something in this group of people. It was the day they first believed in Jesus. Look at verse 7. He puts this in a slightly different way in verse 7. He says, it's right for me to feel this way about of you, all of you, since I have you in my heart. Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. The gospel of Jesus is a message of grace. Grace is undeserved kindness that brings us great joy. The word grace is actually very similar to the word joy. And it's the grace, the undeserved kindness of Jesus to forgive sinners like us, to give his life on a cross for us, to be raised for us, and one day to return for us. And at that moment, on that first day, they entered into partnership together. Paul entered into partnership with these people in Philippi because they began to share in the grace of Jesus together. There is joy in gospel partnership because there are others around us who share in the grace of Jesus with us, who have been loved by Jesus, who have been forgiven by Jesus, who have been brought joy by Jesus. Seeing others share in the gospel should be a source of joy to us. Let me ask some of you this morning, do you yet share in the grace of Jesus? Have you experienced the grace of Jesus? Have you become a gospel partner, sharing in this wonderful, undeserved kindness that Jesus shows us? If you are a Christian this morning, then do you know the joy of recalling other people's first days, We've not had one here for a while, but we have baptisms here. And one of my favorite things about baptism is when people tell their story and we hear how Jesus has begun a good work in people, how he's brought them to share in the grace of God with us. It's a great joy. Many of us may have worked in kids groups where we've seen kids believe. God start a good work in them. We may have been involved in other ministries at church, like Christianity Explored or other ministries where we've seen people have a first day, where they've become partners, sharing in the grace of Jesus with us. Remembering that day brought Paul joy. But gospel partnership isn't just the joy of sharing in the grace of Jesus. Gospel partnership is the joy of sharing in the work of Jesus. And partners are participators. There's a difference, isn't there, between a participator and a spectator. You'll know the difference and you'll probably have a preference which one you like to be. But if you go to see a sports game, if you're sitting in the stands, you're a spectator. If you're on the pitch, you're a participator. Now, Paul had joy from his Philippian partners because they were participators in the very work that Paul was about. Verse 7 spells out something of that work for us. He talks about being in chains. He was suffering for making Jesus known. He talks there in verse 7 about defending and confirming the gospel. He was preaching Jesus wherever he went, defending the gospel, confirming it to people. That is the work of Jesus that Paul set out to do, even when he went to Philippi. And that is the work that we're still to be involved in today. Are you involved in that work? Are you involved in some way in defending and confirming the gospel? When was the last time you had the chance to speak to someone about the gospel? I wonder this morning, could you be called a participator? Participating in this great work that Jesus has left us to do? Or are you simply a spectator? Paul had joy because the people in Philippi, this church in Philippi, they didn't just share in the grace of Jesus. No, they then threw themselves at the work. They were participators with Paul in the ministry of making Jesus known. Look at verse 5. He talks about it from the first day until now. They're still going. Haven't seen Paul for 10 years, but they're participating in this work. One of the main reasons he writes this letter, I think, is to say thank you for a gift that they'd sent to him. They participated by sending money to support the work. They participated by sending their leader, Epaphroditus, to go and see Paul. They participated simply by being in their place in Philippi, sharing the gospel and suffering for it. And there is joy. There is real joy in being a participator in the work of Jesus. Paul knew the joy of having these people miles away, totally with him, sharing in the work that they were meant to be doing. Do you know that joy? The joy of someone perhaps praying for you, putting that arm around you and saying, "Can I pray with you?" The joy of someone texting you a Bible verse because they've been thinking about you. The joy of someone sharing with you in ministry. Do you know what? It brings joy to our mission partners. It brings joy to them to know that we pray for them. It brings joy to, for example, when we write to them and tell them that we're praying for them. It brings joy to them if we go and see them. It brings joy to them when we give to them. I want to say very personally that it brings me joy as a pastor when I think of all the people who have served so hard in the work of making Jesus known here in Enfield Town. Those people who have spent hours laboring at youth work when I did that here. When I've spent hours kind of with people serving in different ways in this church. When people are out there knocking on doors in Enfield Town. When people give generously to the work. It genuinely brings joy. Even when things aren't very easy. I wonder if you know that joy. the joy of sharing in the work of Jesus. That's what gospel partnership is. We share in the grace of Jesus, but we also share in the work of Jesus, announcing the good news of Jesus to this world in which we live. Gospel partnership brings joy in sharing in the grace. Gospel partnership is sharing in the work. But gospel partnership is also the joy of sharing in a certain future with Jesus. See, look at verse 6. He says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. Paul was really confident that these gospel partners wouldn't just share Jesus with them today, but would share Jesus with them forever. He was confident that the work that God had started in them, he would bring to completion. In verse 6, Paul speaks about the day of Christ Jesus. That's the day when Jesus comes again. It's the day when he will gather all those that he has made God's holy people, all those who are in Christ, and they will be with him forever. And Paul is joyful. He finds joy that these gospel partners will one day be part of that great day. Do you share that joyful confidence? That is what we share with others who have come to know Jesus and believe in Jesus. See, as Paul looked at what God had done, they'd believed the gospel. As he looked at what they were doing today, participating in the work, it made him super confident about what God would do in the future to finish up that work in them on the day of Christ Jesus. Gospel partnership. Well, what is it? Well, it's sharing in the grace of Jesus together. It's sharing in the work of making Jesus known together. And it's sharing in the future with Jesus. That is gospel partnership. Gospel partnership was a source of joy to Paul, even in the midst of his hardships. People who'd believed with him, people who'd shared in the work with him, people who he would spend eternity with. And do you know what? This joy led Paul to joyful gospel prayers. This joy in gospel partnership led Paul to joyful gospel prayers. Joy wasn't the end goal for Paul. He didn't just sit in this prison cell in Rome remembering people to just have a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. No, actually, when he experienced the joy of remembering gospel partners, it overflowed into prayer. We often have a picture of what joy might look like, don't we? And maybe even as I talk about joy, we're struggling because we only think of it as someone whistling and being really happy and dancing around or something. But actually, how does Paul express his joy while he's in his prison cell? Well, verse 4, it's in joyful prayer. And what does that prayer look like? Well, verse 3, first of all, he thanks God. He thanks God for his gospel partners. He thanks God for beginning a good work in them. And of course he would, because who is it that caused them to believe? Who is it that directed Paul to take the gospel to Philippi? It was God. God began a good work in them. And so he thanks God. Do you pray like that when you pray for other Christians? Do you pray like that for the people here at Enfield Town Community Church? Thank you, God. Thank you that you've begun a good work in these people. Thank you that you've brought other people to share in the grace of Jesus, this undeserved kindness of forgiveness and eternal life. Do you pray like that? And it's not just that he thanks God, but his joy leads him to intercede for these gospel partners. Look at verse 4. In all my prayers, the word prayer there is the word to petition, to request something of God with urgency. What does he pray for them? Well, he tells us in verse 9 to 11. He's praying for what I would want to call gospel progress. His gospel prayers are for gospel progress. Now, we haven't got time to consider this whole prayer in verses 9 to 11 this morning. But it is really a prayer that these believers in Philippi become more and more like Jesus. It's a prayer that God will complete in them the work that he started. So just scan an eye over it. What does he pray for? Love. Love to abound. Love for Jesus. Love for the other Christians. Love for the lost people in Philippi. And he prays that they'd be filled with the fruit of righteousness, the fruits of Christ. He wants them to advance and progress. He wants them to become like Jesus. Is that how you pray for others? Maybe sometimes we struggle to know how to pray for other people in church. But when we're filled with joy at others, we should pray for them to make gospel progress, to love more, to be filled with righteousness more, the fruit of righteousness. Paul's joy at gospel partnership led him to joyful gospel prayers, prayers of thanks to God for the work that he'd begun in them, and prayers that God would complete that work in them, that they would advance in being like Christ. We can pray like that for one another too, as we are filled with joy at the Christians that God's put around us. Friends, as we consider together what it looks like to seek our joy in Jesus and in what Jesus has been doing, to know what I would call Christian joy, a joy or a happiness even that we can have in the middle of hardships, then Paul shows us that there is joy, real joy, genuine joy in gospel partnership. That is, in sharing in the grace of Jesus with others, sharing in the work of Jesus with others, and sharing in that certain future of Jesus with others. Do you know that joy? Do you want to know that joy? Maybe one of the things to consider is if you don't know that joy, is it because I'm too much of a spectator and not enough of a participator? The joy comes for Paul as he invests himself in the work, the gospel partnership, the partnership of making Jesus known. Do you pray with the kind of joy that Paul prays with? Thanking God for other Christians, joyful at what God has started in them, joyful in what you share with them. Perhaps this morning we need to ask God, God, this gave Paul joy. Please would it give me joy too? And for some of you this morning, the question remains, are you a gospel partner yet? I want to say to you, please come be a gospel partner with us here at Enfield. Please become a gospel partner by putting your trust in Jesus, by sharing with us in the grace of Jesus. None of us here deserve it, but you can come share in the grace of Jesus to us, his grace to forgive us, his grace to love us, his grace to give his life for us, that we might be forgiven. Will you come and be a gospel partner with us today? Come and share in Jesus. Share in the grace of Jesus. Paul speaks about the first day. The first day these Philippian people believed in Jesus. This could be your first day. Please consider Jesus. Believe in him and become a gospel partner today before that day of Christ Jesus comes. Let's pray together and then we'll sing a final hymn. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the work that you are doing in this world through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the joy that there is in gospel partnership with other people in this world. Thank you for Enfield Town Community Church. Thank you for the partnership we have with others here in the gospel. Father, we're really missing being together. But Father, we're still partners. We're still sharers together in this grace that Jesus has shown to us. Father, we can still share together in the work that Jesus is doing in this world. We can still participate together in making Jesus known, supporting one another. Father, thank you for the joy that there is in knowing that one day we together will share in that great future. You will complete the work in us that you have begun. Fill us with joy. Help us to find our joy in this work of Jesus in making us gospel partners. Father, please, for those who are not yet gospel partners with us, please, just as you did for Lydia in Philippi, would you open hearts to believe the truth about Jesus so that people might become gospel partners with us here at Enfield, even today. Father, we ask these things, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing a final song now. Oh, how good it is when God's people dwell together in unity, when we enjoy and find joy in our partnership in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's sing together. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We'd love to see you on our Zoom cafe that starts at 11:30. Grab yourself a cup of tea or coffee or a cold drink and then sign on in and come and join us. Get to know some people at church. Why not on the Zoom cafe today talk a little bit about the subject of joy? I'm sure it's raising all sorts of questions. I've had some great emails in the week just talking about these things, but why not do that together? If you need to know how to connect to the Zoom cafe, then please just email now office@enfieldtown.church and someone there will be able to give you back an email telling you how to connect to the cafe. Just a final prayer as we close this morning, but let's pray together. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.